sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. In the past 2 weeks, there have been two really surprising changes of views by prominent people who formerly opposed the 9/11 truth movement. Today you're going to hear Fox News host Geraldo Rivera interviewing Bob McElvain, who lost his son in the towers, and also mechanical engineer Tony Zambotti. And they'll be discussing 9/11 truth, and you may be surprised to hear Geraldo's new views. Then you'll hear Noam Chomsky, who has to this point not supported 9/11 truth in any way. In fact, he has said that it's a distraction to what really needs to be done, now stating that the U.S. has no evidence linking Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda to 9/11. I'd like to believe that they suddenly both just woke up to these issues and the truth, but I'm having some difficulty trusting that, especially since both happened very close to each other. Geraldo was on November 13th, and Chomsky was on November 1st. Both of these men have had 9 years to read the large body of evidence contradicting the official story, including the 9/11 commissioners themselves and their chief legal counsels stating that they were lied to, obstructed, and that we don't have the truth about 9/11. Did these two guys genuinely just wake up, or is there another agenda going on? Where these turnabouts would support this new agenda, time will tell. But let's get started. Here's Geraldo interviewing Bob McElvain and Tony Zambotti. In the first part of this clip, before the actual interview begins, Geraldo plays clips of Larry Silverstein, the owner of the World Trade Center complex, talking about pulling the building. Then you'll hear George Bush. Then you'll hear the Building What campaign's 30-second ad. Then Rosie O'Donnell. And then an old clip of Geraldo with many 9/11 truthers yelling in the background. So here we go.
Live and at large, it's the one 9/11 mystery that endures. World Trade Center building number 7.
You hear that?
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down soon.
They were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
And so the first one was likely an accident. The second one was an attack. And the third was a declaration of war.
The publication of the Bush memoir fills in some of what we did not know about 9/11. But no official account so far addresses the issue now being raised in an extraordinary ad campaign.
I lost my son.
My nephew.
My uncle.
My son.
On September 11th, 2001.
Most people don't know that a third tower fell on September 11th.
World Trade Center 7, a 47-story skyscraper, was not hit by a plane.
Although the official explanation is that fire brought down Building 7.
Over 1,200 architects and engineers have looked into the evidence
and believe there is more to the story.
Up until now, only those considered nut jobs questioned the official conclusion that office fires caused by the nearby catastrophe of the towers collapsing brought down building number 7.
But I do believe that it is the first time in history that fire has ever melted steel. I do believe that it defies physics for the World Trade Center Tower 7, Building 7, which collapsed in on itself. It is impossible for a building to fall the way it fell without explosives being involved.
And if explosives were involved, that would mean that the most obnoxious protesters in recent years are right.
If you hear the shouting, it's a group of demonstrators who've come. 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, get a life. Get a life. 9/11 was an inside job.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Geraldo Rivera, and that noisy demonstration was more than 2 years ago. But the folks behind that TV ad you saw earlier are not so easy to dismiss as those demonstrators were. And what caught my eye is their claim that more than 1,300 architects and engineers examined the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. But up front tonight, Building 7 was no ordinary building. Among other key tenants, including several intelligence and law enforcement agencies, it also housed New York City's Emergency Operations Center, known as Mayor Giuliani's Bunker. Here to tell us what they know about its collapse and why they question the official conclusions are Bob McElvain, whose son died in the World Trade Center, and Tony Zambotti, a mechanical engineer. Nice to see you guys. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Geraldo.
Nice to meet you, Geraldo.
Our condolences, obviously, for your loss. But, Tony, let me start with you. You're an engineer. Are you suggesting that the official account that Building 7 collapsed because of the fire melting the steel or in some other ways, destroying the integrity, the structural integrity of the build, that's false? You think that's false?
Yes, I do. And for a couple reasons. One is that Building 7 came down. It went into a sudden collapse across the full width and length of the building for 2.25 seconds, which amounted to 105 feet or eight 13-foot tall stories. It was in full free-fall acceleration. That is impossible because in a natural collapse, columns would have to buckle. When columns buckle, there is a minimum resistance. It's asymptotic, if you know what that means. That means it never goes to zero. So it's impossible. You can't reach.
So here's what, I guess in layman's terms, just get my hands here, Peter. So what he's saying is that the top floor collapses, hits the next floor, so it's bang, 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 the weight of the upper floors.
It would slow down. What I'm trying to say is it was in full free-fall acceleration. All of its potential energy was being converted to motion.
Instead of what I just described, the thing just collapsed like a pancake.
It just came down.
And so what are you suggesting brought it down, Tony?
I'm suggesting there was some form of demolition devices in that building for eight stories or more.
You think that the explosives brought down Building 7?
Some form of demolition device. I'm not pretending to know what it is. I am saying that it was in free-fall acceleration.
All right, let me ask you this.
The NASD admitted to that.
Okay, let me ask you this before I get to Dad, before I get to Bob here. We've all seen old, obsolete buildings and public housing in other places outlive their usefulness, being demolished by the professionals who can actually collapse a building right in its own footprint. That's what it looks like happened to Building 7. Do you believe that's what happened?
Yes, I do believe that's what happened.
And why do you think they're lying about it?
I don't really know all the details of what they're lying about. I can't read their minds. All I can say is, scientifically, it's impossible for fire to have done what we see.
And these 1,300 engineers and architects who agree with you and some of the other relatives' families, I know you found your son just a couple of days after the disaster. He was outside. I don't want to get into the details of how you believe he died, but these architects and engineers, do they support your contention? Do you believe that it was an inside job, that 9/11 was an inside job?
All right, Geraldo, I believe it was an inside job. Okay,
I'm here. You believe our government?
Right. Wait, look, please. But the thing is, we don't have enough time to get into the reasons of that. We set up this Building What campaign. We saw the
Building What.
org.
Buildingwhat.org.
The reason we have that is because Judge Lehner, when we had a petition to have a new investigation in New York City about Building 7. And when the lawyers...
And you're asking the New York City Council, I don't
right,
want to interrupt, also to
right.
reopen.
So I know we don't have the time, but anyway, he said, Building what? Because no one has any idea about Building 7. So because I believe in... I've talked to so many firemen, so many EMS workers, policemen, who talk about the explosions. And I know you don't want to get into my son's... But I feel my son died from an explosion. I went to all the 9/11 commission hearings. I've been researching this for 9 years.
So what do you want? Let's get to the bottom line before we're out of time.
I want truth. I've been lied to. I mean, it's beyond a reasonable doubt that the 9/11 Commission did not tell this story.
9/11 Commission barely mentioned Building 7, if at all.
Right.
Okay, what forum do you want the investigation in?
Well, the forum, what we wanted is in New York City right now, because New York City, we feel, has an obligation to investigate 9/11.
So before we're out of time completely, Bob, do you want specifically the New York City Council to open its own investigation of the Building 7 collapse?
Absolutely.
And that would satisfy you if they did that?
Well, I'm not done. I'm still a parent. I'm a parent who has an obligation to find out why my son was murdered.
I'm after that.
As far as this show and New York City, I want the investigation. That will not be sufficient
enough.
Not heal
your wound. I get it.
And I'm going beyond that.
But it's
that.
The beginning.
Of course it's the beginning, but that's why I support this Building What campaign.
Bob McElveen, we thank you. Tony Zimbardi, thank you very much. It is an intriguing topic. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects. Clearly, they know more than I do. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And now here's Geraldo being interviewed by Judge Andrew Napolitano on the Fox News show Freedom Watch on November 19th.
One of the world's leading investigative reporters and my dear friend and Fox colleague Geraldo Rivera, one of the most respected journalists in America, made a stunning revelation days ago about his views of the events on 9/11. Is this healthy skepticism? Or has he gone too far? The man himself is here to explain it all. The one, the only, Geraldo Rivera.
Hey, Judge.
Geraldo, welcome here. Welcome to Freedom Watch. I want to play a little tape of what you played on your show last weekend. I want you to watch what you watched, and then we're going to play a tape of what you said after you watched it. Here
okay.
we go.
I lost my son.
My nephew.
My uncle.
My son.
On September 11th, 2001.
Most people don't know that a third tower fell on September 11th.
World Trade Center 7, a 47-story skyscraper, was not hit by a plane.
Although the official explanation is that fire brought down Building 7.
Over 1,200 architects and engineers have looked into the evidence.
And believe there is more to the story.
Bring justice to my son.
My uncle.
My nephew.
My son.
And thousands of others who died on September 11th.
Go to buildingwhat.org.
Is their claim that more than 1,300 architects and engineers examined the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
It is November 2010. Why are you, with all the spotlight that you can draw to what you say because of who you are, revisiting 9/11 and who caused it or who may have caused it now?
Let me take one brief backstep and contextually say that I loathe conspiracy theories.
I know that.
I've investigated the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
My son Cruz and I were just watching a documentary about it. The Kennedy assassination. I played the Zapruder film for the first time on national
television. You're not
television.
A fan of Jesse,
I am
Jesse Ventura on that one.
Or conspiracies generally. But what caught my eye here, Judge, and I think that it would have been irresponsible of me because I care so much, is this commercial that the families put out about how the not only do they ache and that they want these questions answered, but also that they have these 1,300 architects and engineers who doubt the official conclusion about how Building 7 was brought down.
Do you doubt the official conclusion of how Building 7 came down?
I think that it is highly unlikely that our government would do anything nefarious on a scale of this epic nature. However, the building does appear to come down in a way that is reminiscent of a controlled demolition.
All right, here's what you also said. We have another clip of you talking about up until now.
Up until now, only those considered nut jobs question the official conclusion that office fires caused by the nearby catastrophe of the towers collapsing brought down building number 7. And if explosives were involved, that would mean that the most obnoxious protesters in recent years are right.
Could the most obnoxious protesters in recent years be right if the explosives were there and the government didn't cause it, didn't know about it, but won't tell us about it?
Could is a very, very big word, but if indeed explosives were involved, then yes, those loathsome 9/11 were an inside job protesters maybe have some, you know, some reason to have adherence of people more mainstream, more responsible than them.
And now let's discuss Noam Chomsky. According to Wikipedia, he's an American linguist, philosopher, cognitive scientist, and political activist. He's become known more widely as a political dissident and an anarchist, referring to himself as a libertarian socialist. He opposed the Vietnam War and has been critical of the mainstream media. According to the Arts and Humanities Citation Index, in 1992, Chomsky was the eighth most cited source of all times and is considered the most cited living author. He's a leading critic of U.S. foreign policy. So how could a highly intelligent researcher like Noam Chomsky not have known about the fact that the FBI did not and does not have Osama bin Laden wanted for 9/11? Why did it take him 9 years to figure that out? when the 9/11 truth researchers have been writing about that since at least 2006, when the FBI admitted that they have no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11. If this comes as a shock to you, you can check it out for yourself by going to the FBI website, and you'll see that they don't have Osama bin Laden wanted for 9/11. Now that's huge news, since we're in two wars and attacking Pakistan and Yemen to get Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. We're killing an awful lot of people chasing after this guy and that group that can't be linked to the crime by any solid evidence. That's mind-boggling. And where's the corporate media on this issue? Have you heard them talking about this lately? Here's what the Rock Creek Free Press has to say about Noam Chomsky in their December edition. Has renowned scholar Noam Chomsky become a 9/11 truther? Not quite, but he has moved in that direction. The MIT professor has been famously hostile to the 9/11 truth movement in the past and has taken some criticism for dismissing the question of what happened on 9/11 as, quote, unimportant. In a recent interview, Chomsky says the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan was illegal, since to date there is no evidence that Al-Qaeda carried out the 9/11 attacks. The professor also said that non-existence of such evidence was confirmed by the FBI. So here's the clip of Chomsky doing his turnaround on 9/11 on Press TV on November 1st, 2010. And by the way, Press TV is an Iranian station.
In October 2001, the United States and Britain began to bomb Afghanistan. There's a lot of fairy tales concocted later, but the explicit motive, the declared motive of the war, was to compel the Taliban to turn over to the United States people who they accused of having been involved in the World Trade Center, Pentagon, terrorist attacks. The Taliban indicated that they might consider extradition, but they requested evidence, which of course is natural, and the Bush administration refused to provide any evidence. They said, turn them over or we'll bomb you. We later discovered one of the reasons why they didn't present evidence. They didn't have any. 8 months later, the head of the FBI, after the most intense international investigation in history, informed the press that the FBI believed that the plot may have been hatched in Afghanistan, but was probably implemented in the United Arab Emirates and Germany. So they essentially had no evidence, so they couldn't present it. But on that basis, they bombed. 3 weeks later, a British officer, an admiral, I think, forgotten who, announced that the United States and Britain would continue bombing until the people of Afghanistan overthrew the Taliban. So we'll bomb you until you overthrow the government we don't like. That was 3 weeks after the war. That was later turned into the official justification for the war. Oh, this is totally illegal. I mean, what's more, it was criminal.
So while I'm thankful that Geraldo Rivera and Noam Chomsky have spoken some truth about 9/11 and now seem more open to it, and they'll reach a really large audience, I still wonder why now? Perhaps it's because the 9/11 truth movement has grown so large and is worldwide, and there's no holding it back at this point. Here's a list of the professional groups for 9/11 truth that have formed over the last 9 years, all demanding a new investigation into 9/11. There are actors and artists for 9/11 truth, architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, firefighters, intelligence officers for 9/11 truth, lawyers for 9/11 truth, media professionals for 9/11 truth, medical professionals for 9/11 truth, patriots question 9/11, political leaders for 9/11 truth, religious leaders for 9/11 truth, scholars for 9/11 truth and justice, the Journal of 9/11 Studies, which involves scientists, pilots for 9/11 truth, veterans for 9/11 truth, and U.S. military officers for 9/11 truth. These impressive groups have members from the U.S. and around the world, and their membership is continually growing. Another interesting development that may have people a little nervous who support the official conspiracy theory, You know, the 19 Middle Eastern hijackers with box cutters and the buildings collapsing due to the fires. And this new development is the release of tens of thousands of photos and video footage from 9/11 by the National Institute of Standards and Technology in response to a Freedom of Information Act request by the International Center for 9/11 Studies. In this next audio clip, you'll hear a recent interview between radio show host Alex Jones and attorney James Gourley of the International Center for 9/11 Studies discussing this latest remarkable event.
James Gourley is, of course, an attorney, and he is the executive director of International Center for 9/11 Studies. He has an undergraduate degree in chemical engineering as well, and it's ic911studies.org, the International Center for 9/11 Studies. These are the people, the great patriots, who deserve your support, lovers of the truth, who did the FOIA request and filed the lawsuits and went through all the rigmarole in the last few years to force the release of all these NIST videos, the federal government videos of firefighters, police, and others that they had tried to classify. Now, when they got 5 terabytes of video and documents released, it wasn't bland stuff. It was firemen and police and the deputy FBI director talking about bombs and explosions and countdowns and the sounds of bombs and powerful stuff. So I also want to hear, as they go through these 5 terabytes, what else they're about to release, what their organization stands for, and the incredible success they're having. James Gourley, thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks, Alex.
Tell us about yourself, your organization, and break down how you got all this NIST information.
Well, I mean, like you say, I'm an attorney, and that takes most of my time during the day, so I don't have a whole lot of spare time to devote to 9/11, but I have been trying to contribute some original research and original work since about maybe 2006. And as I was submitting comments to on various government reports and submitting papers to be published in scientific journals on the subject, they kept wanting to know what organization that I was affiliated with. And since I was kind of acting independently and I didn't really have anything to say, so in 2008, I founded the International Center for 9/11 Studies basically as just a vehicle through which I could contribute original research to 9/11 and also collaborate, you know, with other scientists and college professors on work related to 9/11. So I've been author or co-author on several papers that have been published in scientific journals through the International Center, and I've worked with scientists all over the world. But the most recent action we've taken was we filed a Freedom of Information Act request in January of 2009 with the National Institute of Standards and Technology. We were basically just requested every photograph or video that they used, received, cited, that was in any way a part of their investigation into the Twin Towers and Building 7. And they, despite repeated requests for when we might hear back from them after 4 months of calling them about once a month and asking when they might respond, we were forced to file a lawsuit against them. And sure enough, you know, a month after we filed the lawsuit, they start releasing documents, and they have been ever since.
Well, talk about, because you really did something important, talk about how you got the idea to demand all these videos be released. They didn't want to be forthcoming. They'd refused to give them to others, but you were able to get them. And now some of the things that we're seeing on these videos, it becomes very clear why NIST did not want to release these.
Right. I think, you know, a year or two before I submitted my request, I recall somebody else posting on 9/11 Blogger that they had requested pretty much the same thing I did, and that NIST told them that it would cost $19,000 or $20,000 to produce all this stuff. And obviously, that was an effort on their part to make it cost prohibitive. So I thought, well, I'll submit it, and I'll submit the same request. If they try to pull that on me, I'll challenge it and I'll just sue them, because I'm an attorney, so filing a lawsuit against them would be a lot cheaper than, you know, paying them $19,000 or $20,000. So, but after actually, whenever I submitted the request, they never responded, which actually under recent amendments to the Freedom of Information Act, if they fail to respond within 20 days, you actually get kicked down into a lower fee structure. It's kind of complex. They have 3 different fee classes you can fall under. So even if they put me in the highest fee class, if they failed to respond, I automatically got kicked down to the next lower fee class. But actually, since I sued them, they haven't tried to charge me a dime. So it's been pretty successful. And like you say, as I've been going through these, and I've only, like, and you kind of mentioned there's 4 or 5 terabytes of information here. And as I've been going through them, I've only gotten through maybe 15 to 20% of what I've received, because it's just a mountain of information. But you find all kinds of references to explosions. I wanted to make sure that that footage that I think you've played and others have played with the men walking away from Building 7 with the hard hats on, saying, keep an eye on that building. That building's about to blow up. I wanted to make sure that was legitimate and you know, sourced from an official government body that documented that they had possession of that video as well. You know, you've got Brian Williams talking to the fire chief saying, well, we had heard that it was either going to be brought down or would come down on its own, you know. I mean, NIST was in possession of all kinds of evidence of explosions and ignored it all.
Well, we had the news reporting that they were going to blow up Building 7. I heard it on the radio that day, and now it's all admitted. So they did this in plain view, like a magician distracting you with his assistant while he does the sleight of hand, but we've now seen it. I don't know if you've seen the latest video, but Geraldo Rivera on Fox, this is a big deal, has come out and tacitly endorsed 9/11 Truth and the victims' families over Building 7. He said he's very concerned about this and understands why people are investigating now. So it's gone from total ridicule to Geraldo Rivera, a longtime New Yorker, saying he's concerned.
Yeah, I did see that this weekend. And, I mean, that's all the thanks to that goes to the people who organized the Building What advertising campaign, because that I don't think that ever would have happened without Building What. And actually, a lot of the video that I've received is basically in its very native, very high-quality format. And I gave the videographer or the video editor who put together that commercial, I gave him access to all of the Building 7 collapse videos that I've received, that I know of anyways, that I've discovered through my investigation. And I think he might have used some of the video that I've received in that commercial, because obviously it's going to be broadcast on television and you need very
absolutely
high quality video for it.
But well, we want to thank you, James Gourley, for what you've done with your organization that's having a huge effect, International Center for 9/11 Studies. And so the genie's out of the bottle, the cat's out of the bag, the train's left the station, and 9/11 Truth is only building its energy internationally, and more people are looking at the evidence. And that's got to feel good, James, for somebody like yourself who's seeking after justice. You could have just sat there on the sidelines as a successful, you know, lawyer, and as somebody who's also a chemical engineer. Why did you get involved?
Well, how can you not? I don't know. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, once I first got into this during law school in maybe 2004, when I saw David Ray Griffin giving a talk at the University of Wisconsin in Madison on C-SPAN, and it probably took me a year and a half of researching it before I could even convince myself that it was true, just because it's horrible to even think about that this could be an inside job. But the evidence is all there. I mean, it's undeniable. So once you are armed with that information, I mean, I had to start contributing in whichever ways I can. And my science background, I've got a degree in chemical engineering, so I'm able to kind of contribute to some of the scientific aspects of it. And also, I'm an attorney, so I'm able to do things like sue NIST whenever they ignore FOIA requests, or if they had tried to assess some kind of fee for releasing the materials, I could have challenged them on that too. So I'm just trying to contribute wherever I can.
And again, that was a recent interview between Alex Jones of Prison Planet and attorney James Gourley of the International Center for 9/11 Studies. So maybe Geraldo Rivera and Noam Chomsky have begun to change their positions on 9/11 because they're finally waking up. Or maybe they want to be on the right side of history when the truth can no longer be denied or ridiculed. Or maybe there's a hidden agenda. Time will tell. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.